At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Into sports.
20 yards out, Urch to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
And get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what, do we get a slap?
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Now, you're welcome along. It's the latest in our series of GAA roadshows. In association with SuperValu, we're calling on GAA fans across the country to support where you're from. You can check out youtube.com/SuperValu Ireland for more information. Now, this championship is flying by. Suddenly, semi-final weekend is upon us. To that end, the main man is here in studio, Kieran Donaghy. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm Three very well.
3 years apart, we've kept it legal.
So, semi-final weekend, the championship is flying by.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. It's. I don't know what to feel about it. It's kind of. I spent 15 years giving out about how long and how drawn out and the gaps we had to wait for games, and here I am, kind of going, geez, we're in semi-final time already. This is going to be over in 2 weeks. So I think we might get the balance right next year. This February to end of June or July thing sounds proper. That 5 months sounds good.
We'll never get the balance right. If there's one thing for sure. So look, excitement is ramping up in four counties at least. There are certainly three of them. One is just cruising along, as we know they do, and we'll be talking to Jason Sherlock and Pillar Caffrey later on. But they are very happy in Tipperary. Pat Short, hello.
Yeah, absolutely delighted. Hello, how are you, JP? Yeah, good. We're thrilled, yeah.
So the famine is over after 85 years. How did you spend that Sunday?
I got very drunk. I don't remember much of the Donegal match. I had a friend of mine from Donegal text me, and he said, I didn't know you'd big balls in Tipperary. And I had to text him back and say, mainly down around South Tip. But it was great. It was fantastic. I mean, it's great. I've been watching that team for a long time. Like where I come from, it would be a lot more hurling, you know what I mean, up in North Tipperary. Turles is where I'm from. But we all support all Tipperary teams, there's no doubt about it. But we wouldn't have a huge knowledge of what's going on in the football normally. But that team I was watching because I had an interest in it many, many years ago. My nephew played with a lot of the lads there.
And Pat, come here to me. Would a lot of these hurling people now have spited heightened interests in this kind of in this football team now heading into an All Ireland semi-final? The fact that the hurlers are gone, is there much more focus on the footballers in all of Tipperary this week?
Absolutely. I mean, she has nothing else to be doing. I think were the Camogie knocked out as well, I think, recently. So, huge amount. I mean, look, it's fantastic. And I think with the jerseys on last in the Munster final, beating Cork was amazing. And there was something about that whole Bloody Sunday event as well.
Would you have been a fan of keeping these jerseys on for the
semi-final? The match, they'd love to keep them on. It reminded me of the game in Croke Park with Ireland and England in the rugby, or the Thomond Park Munster playing the All Blacks a couple of years ago. It had that kind of excitement about it, which was great.
And so what's the lay of the land then, Pat? So you were saying North Tipperary, South Tipperary, one's hurling, one's football. Like, is this militant stuff? Like, would all the clubs be dual, or would some of them not play hurling or not play football at all? Give us the lay of the land and tip. I'm not too sure what the crack is.
Well, it would be like North Riding. I know it's all Tipperary now. It used to be North Riding, South Riding, and there was almost a divide. It's a bit like Cork in the sense North Cork would be really hurling, and down West Cork, South Cork would be very football, that rivalry against Kerry. You would have always had traditionally like Clonmel, that kind of area, would be more football kind of driven. Now, you do have a few players. I know there's a couple of players up around Portrow and places like that as well, but predominantly when I was growing up as a kid, it would have been more down that, the south, that kind of end of things. And I think that I wouldn't have played a whole lot of GAA myself, but I do think there was a kind of thing where a lot of the hurling teams wouldn't really, they wouldn't even train for football. You know, it wouldn't have been that big at all.
Okay. And so was the football fan a little bit forgotten in Tip then over the last 85 years?
It's funny, yeah, I think so. And it's funny, if you look at the All-Irelands in the very early starts of the GAA, it was the Tipperary footballers were very, very big, you know. So, yeah, it would have been the last... I would have even held the football in school in Turles.
Oh, really? So it was like that?
Yeah, yeah, genuinely. It would have been all hurling. Okay. It reminds me of a gig I did in Dundalk one time, and there's a saying that you'd always used to have years ago, was like, that's not my yoke going, sorry, beg your pardon. It was I thought I had that switched off, but there's a saying we used to have at home, well, Bisey hurling, and it's kind of like, are you what are you up to, you know, just to, and I remember saying to a young fella, I was dressed in character, and I turned around to him in the audience, I said, well, are you hurling? I was dressed as a priest at the time, one of the sketches I was doing, and he says, no, father, all football around these parts.
so back in the day growing up, if they found a football on the field in Turles, they'd burst it and give you a hurl. Is that the crack then?
I wouldn't even know what it was.
Yeah. So, it's a strange time to win a Munster title for the first time in 85 years. Obviously, I mean, if this was in the height of summer, you'd have people in the pubs chatting football, excitement to be building, there'd be flags everywhere, bunting everywhere. It's probably a little bit hard to gauge the sense of excitement, which I'm sure is there.
Yeah, I think they do a drive through Ballyporeen and that down that neck goes. But it is a strange time. There's no doubt about it. And even the time of year that the matches are on, you know, under a lot of floodlit. I mean, the summer would have been obviously it would have been the summertime. I think it's great actually to see the matches back to back and a bit of knockout as well. It's and to see the different teams, like see Cavan up there, see Kerry getting knocked out was really strange. You know,
easy no pass.
So it's been. I know, but it is. I mean, who would have thought it? I mean, who would have thought that Cork beating Kerry? So it really has thrown up a really strange championship this year, you know, which has been great. I think it's great to see it.
Would you be a fan, yes, Pat, for keeping strange. That going forward, knockout football, and it's that clean cut? It, does it bring an edge to the game? Because I think we've had an edge in the game this year, even without crowds. So I can only imagine if it was in this situation next year with crowds, or even in 2 years' time with proper crowds in the game, with the fear factor of if we lose today, it's out. I think it brings something. Would you be a fan of keeping it going forward?
Well, it certainly brought something to it this time around. I don't know if, like, I think it caught people by a bit of shock. You know what I mean? Suddenly you turn around and say, what? Kerry are gone? Like, surely there's no back door, there's nothing there. And that really kind of focused people on the games, I think, definitely. And I know certainly with Tipperary getting to the Munster final, the chance that they could take on Cork and beat Cork was kind of exciting. And when they did, Cork are gone now and they're moving on to semi-final of an All-Ireland straight away. Absolutely. It's. I think we've forgotten how exciting that knockout process was. It was great. It was very. I mean, I know for some of the weaker counties, I suppose that was why it was probably brought in. They weren't really having much of a championship. Some places, and Tipperary probably suffered that a long time ago as well. You know, in the football. So, I know it's good to see some teams getting a second chance. There's no doubt about it. And if you see, I think I definitely thought I saw it in Tipperary hurling that. Like the last couple of years, they might have lost the first game in the championship, and then they had to go kind of backdoor route and play a lot of games and got stronger and stronger and stronger with the more games they were playing, and ended up in the All-Ireland 2 years ago.
Pat, stay with us. We have another Tipperary legend with us. Declan Brown played for Tipperary for 11 years. One of their great players, represented Ireland in the international rules. Twice an All-Star up until Quinlivan in 16. He was their only All-Star, and he's twice an All-Star. Munster Football of the Year in 98. 7 county titles as well. Declan, how you doing?
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Great to have you with us. So, I mean, Pat said he drank most of that Sunday, and I'll be honest, probably into Wednesday, Thursday as well that week. What about you?
And I'm glad you sewed it into gear in there. It saves me the bother doing it to Kerry anyway. I watched it at home with my wife and my two girls. So, you know, it was these things are more than a Munster final to tip footballers, you know. The occasion, everything is just special. And like, I'm on record saying that once Kerry were out of the equation, like, we always felt that we had a chance against Cork. You know, and that's not cocky or arrogance, but it's just there was something there that, you know, these guys who had played all along up underage and, you know, beating Kerry and beating Cork. So, like, and a lot of experience in that team as well. So, you know, it was a fierce, exciting household. Obviously, listen, we all cried after at the end of it because we're waiting so long for it. And it's something, you know, that we all dreamed of someday happening and someday being part of it, you know. So it was special. And I hear you're saying there, but the celebrations, like, it's a real pity. Like, we should be celebrating this for the next 6 months, you know. It's a real pity that there's no cups going to schools or going to clubs or pubs or whatever, you know. So it's a real pity that way. But on the flip side of that, if the championship was played in normal circumstances, we wouldn't have won it because we wouldn't have had Mikey Quinlivan around or Liam Casey around or Colin O'Riordan around. So you know, we can't have it every way. So we're not going to complain about the celebrations. It's just special to have one less on the week.
Do you know what's interesting about this is you expect when you're bridging an 85-year gap that there'll be blood and thunder and late drama and, you know, Cavan against Donegal was a roller coaster of a game. But actually, you know, weirdly, this is just a brilliant crop of Tipperary players. Things have been done right in the county of late. So, you know, you've got the minor champions of 2011. There was an under-21 All-Ireland final in 15. Tip were in the senior semi-final in 16. And against Cork in this Munster final, this 85-year bridge, they just won it in routine fashion. They were just the better team and never looked in much doubt, you would have to say. It was almost counterintuitive the way they did it.
Yeah, I think if Michael Quinlivan's or the goal has stood, you know, we'd have won it comfortably. But like, that's the very pleasing thing for me, Joe, to be honest, is it's not a fluke. You know, sometimes in games we're involved in, there might have been a penalty given or a penalty missed or someone sent off or someone a black card. This is completely on merit. And that's the most pleasing thing for me, that this group, they deserve that because they were by far the better team. You know, 3 points is probably, it doesn't do the scoreline justice in the end. You know, they played ball. But on the other side of it is, like, Cork took out Kerry and they probably thought that was their Munster final. So, you know, there's that side to it too. But our guys are, you know, they're confident guys. They're used to winning. And, you know, and that's shown bright on last Sunday week in the Munster final. The occasion didn't get to him either, which was great, and to see the jerseys, so you couldn't have marked the weekend any better.
Like you, Dick, I thought, to be honest as well, looking into that week and looking at the forwards, I thought Tipperary actually had the better forwards that could win a Munster final, and the weather was given okay, and it was down in a big open pitch in Parky Cueve. So, like you, I fancied them, but you know it's fine fancying them, and it's fine when you're ahead, you know, 10 minutes into the second half, but I guess, what were you most proudest of when the final whistle went as a fan? Because I was, you know, I think every neutral was cheering them on, but definitely Kerry-Cork rivalry, I was cheering them on probably, Hilary said it was like Kerry were playing in the game. She said, relax. What were you most proudest of when that final whistle went? Was it the 85 years? Was it the fact they did it on the Bloody Sunday commemoration? Or was it a factor of all those things?
A factor of, yeah, I think like the long wait, Kieran, is you know, 85 years is an awful long time. A lot of good people have gone, a lot of good footballers have gone through the system, you know. So I think it was Conor Sweeney even mentioned, like, everyone played their part, you know, over the last 85 years, which is, you know, I don't mean to sound corny or anything like that, but it was nice to hear that like we all dreamed and we all strived to get to that holy grail, let's say. But for the boys to do it in such fashion, and I don't think it was commented on after as well, like the way they conducted themselves, like Conor Sweeney, the way he spoke, and you know, even leading up to the Munster final was incredible, you know. And I think once you hear that after, I know it's easy to say it after, but you knew there was something special going to happen, because they were focused, they were fully in control. For like, we usually, if we're in a Munster final years ago, you go mad, you go nuts for the 2 weeks, you know, and you might scupper your chances. But these guys were, you know, they were fairly down to earth and got on with their job. And with all the hullabaloo Bloody Sunday, Kieran, like, they never lost focus, you know. And we could have lost that game and got the pat in the back and, oh, wasn't it a great weekend? And, you know, the usual story, but it wasn't to be. And I think they were just so possessed. And obviously, like, Colin O'Riordan coming back was, you know, was massive, especially coming down the home straight. He was probably the the big difference. So a lot of things fell into place for us. There's no point in saying any different. But like, we have mighty good footballers. And I think, in fairness to David Power, he learned from the Kerry match with the way Cork set up. We broke him down and we delivered quick ball in, and you know, the rest is history, really.
And Declan, what's the word in the county then? I mean, you soldiered for a long time and would have loved a day like the lads have enjoyed this year, and we've seen this brilliant generation coming through. Is that because Tip has got its house in order and we're going to see successive generations now coming through of a high standard, or is this just a bit of a golden generation that has almost come through in a you know, strange way that sometimes golden generations do?
Yeah, I suppose you go back to 2016, we probably thought we peaked and we were written off. And I suppose results after that didn't go too well. But like, I think it was it 16 or 17, we were on the last day in the league, we were kicking the ball away from going to Division One in the league, you know. So like, just, you don't do that by chance. You know, and you mentioned it there, Joe, earlier about the 11 winning team. We probably should have backed that up in 12 with a minor team was probably better than the 11 team. Roscommon beat us in the All-Ireland semi-final, you know. So we're used to playing in big occasions. And like, there's no point in saying if this is a super group, super bunch for over the last 10 years who stuck together, who have good friends. Like the group coming through after this, like, they're not, like, we know ourselves, like, there's not much really coming through, you know, and I hate saying that. So like, we're hoping that we can keep this group together for another 2 or 3 years and bring through 3 or 4 more, you know, every year. We don't need to bring 20 or 15 or 10 through at a time. It's just to keep the thing ticking over. And like, what better starting point than last Sunday week? If anyone wants to play football, you know, they will after this.
Deck, do you know the way? I know you were a prolific hurler as well, and I know you put on an exhibition in a game in Páirc Uí Chaoimh a few years back. So you're well capable in Pat's game as well. A good few hurlers good at the football too. I know that John McGrath, I know John Maher, who was captain of the footballers, who went into the hurlers. Was there goals made at them to try and bring them back in? Because realistically, this could be the last time that Sweeney, Quinlevin, Colin O'Riordan sit inside in the same dressing room. You know, Mikey made it clear that he wanted to go on a bit of a break. Colin will be going back to Sydney. The year won't, the time frame probably won't suit him to get back into that dressing room again. Do you think there could have been a play made to see if any of these fellas could add anything? Could they be factors in improving training over the last 3 weeks and getting them down? Or do you think he's gone the right way about it by probably sticking what he has?
I think, the latter there, Kieran. You know, like Colin coming back, like, he was back 7 or 8 weeks. So that was a big call to make as well, because you have lads training all year, like, he was back there for 7 or 8 weeks. So that, I think we got away with that. Personally, I don't think they can go back looking for lads now, because like, we've achieved this. It's special. It's momentous. I think it would be a backward step for the younger guys on the panel. Like, I know my own clubmate of mine wasn't on the panel. He was on the 26 for the Clare match, but he wasn't on the 26 for the Munster final, you know. So that's disappointing for a young lad. And like, Colin came back in and deservedly had to start, you know. But if we were to add more from the hurling side to that, you're going to upset the whole. Like, for me, Kieran, if you're inviting these lads back in, you have to involve them. You can't just put them on an extended panel, you know. I think it would defeat the purpose. So, you know, you could upset everything, all the goodwill and everything that has been done over the last couple of weeks. Obviously, you'd love to have them from the start if they made themselves available. Like John Maher, for example, like, I feel so sorry from that. Like, he was watching both games at that weekend. He wasn't part of the hurling panel.
And he was captain. And, like, Dick, am I right in saying that he was captain at the start of the year with the footballers?
Oh, I don't know. No, I'd say Connor. No, Connor was captain.
Connor was captain from the get-go. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know, so I know you can say, like, you make your bed, you lie in it, like, but John, like, obviously we all got the hunger to go out to hurling and to give it a try. But like, for a guy with such a nice guy, such a good talented hurler and footballer, to be sitting down at home watching the two matches was an absolute disaster, you know. Whereas he was a certainty on the football team, Kieran, you know. But yeah, like, they're the choice you make, and you know, who'd have thought we'd be Munster champions? So hindsight is great, but it's a real pity. And we have so many players like that fall through the net, that, you know, Paul Maher is another guy from Kilsheel and Kilcash, you know, he was on the football last year, threw his lot with the hurlers, didn't make the panel. So, you know, the list is endless there, and I could keep going on naming names, but, you know, it's a real pity. But it's a hurling county, Kieran, and it'll never change, and we've gotten on with it for all along, and it's nice to get the just rewards At the end of it,
absolutely.
2 weeks ago.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Sick of these hurling types in Tipperary taking over there. Full of themselves. Look at them there. Come here now. This is, and I promise everyone, we are not going down a championship structure debate here. I'm not going to do that to us. But I just want to ask you one question, Declan, because you're well placed to answer it. So I listed out all your achievements there. You know, this brilliant, brilliant player for Tipperary. And I made a point of not mentioning the fact that you won the Tommy Murphy Cup in 05. I'm wondering, did anyone notice? You know, maybe outside of Tipperary, I suspect they didn't. So there's talk of Tier 2 coming in. You've been that soldier. You've won the Tommy Murphy. And look, we can all promise now as media we'll cover a Tier 2 championship as well as Tier 1. Probably won't happen in reality. Was Tommy Murphy, was that a brilliant year in your sporting life, or did it feel very much like second-class citizen? I ask that with a view to what's going to happen in the future.
To be honest with you, Joe, for me, and this is personal, for me to walk the Hogan Stand steps and to lift a trophy, it's something I'll never forget.
Right.
And I've said it before, even if it was an egg cup I was lifting, to walk those famous steps was incredible. You know, and I know it was the Tommy Murphy Cup. You know, in fairness to Sean Kelly, he brought it in for like weaker counties. I hate saying the word, but that's what we were. You know, we went into, I think we got hammered by Kerry here, remember, in 05 in Thurles, and we lost the qualifier by a point. I missed the last kick of a game to draw the match against Paddy's Westmead, you know. And then we this Tommy Murphy Cup came about, and the funny part about it is we played Roscommon in the semi-final of that in Thurles on a Tuesday night. Like you couldn't make it up. And it's like Roscommon traveled down on a Tuesday night, so they were missing a heap of players because of that, you know. So that'll probably tell you the real value of it. But when you realize then you're going to play in Croke Park, All-Ireland semi-final Sunday before Tyrone and Armagh, I think, you know, that was, to us, that was the buzz of playing before 60, 70,000 people in the second half. And that was great. But like, to answer your question, like we won that. We were delighted to win that. We got a trip to New York out of it, which was special, which was special as well. You know, these little things, did we have much love for it the following year? No, you know, and that's the worry I would have. And I recall my last game actually for Tip in 07. If you remember, Kieran, they, Division 4 teams were exempt from the qualifiers. They were straight into the into the Tommy Murphy Cup. And we played Clare and Art Finnan. And John Owens, my clubmate, was manager. And this is no word of lie. To ring players the morning of the match to see could they play. Younger guys, young minors. So right. To me, Tier 2, you know, I would have, because we were weaker back then, I would have said probably it's the only way to go. But obviously with Tip now, I know we're Division 3. But like, to call us a Tier 2 team, I think would be, you know, I don't know, would it go down well? But if it is, it is. Like at the end of the day, the Dubs are so far ahead at the moment. Like, you've Kerry and Donegal. There's a couple of teams there, but there's this massive gap between teams. So they have to do something, you know. But I would love to see it something like this year, you know, if they can make it. I don't know what they'll do with, like, the provincial championships. Obviously, are special. Now that we won it, they are, you know. So, like, would you make an open draw and then give it back door? I don't know. It's very hard. But I have to say, I love the playing week on week. This waiting around for 3 or 4 weeks for a match is stupid. It's nonsensical training. It's just crazy. I know you can pick up injuries, but, you know, condense the club game, condense the intercounty into week on week, and I think it'd be brilliant. And obviously, they give you a 2 week break to semi-finals and final, but I think if we don't learn Joe from this experience this year, the GA would have missed a big trick.
Okay, very interesting. So Pat,
yes,
these Mayo boys, they've had a lot of heartache. Are you going to dish out some more on Sunday? What are you thinking about this game then?
Yeah, well, look, I don't think any of those Tipperary players are going to be afraid of that Mayo team at all. I think I remember that game a couple of years ago where we met Mayo, and I think Tipperary kept them scoreless 20 minutes in the first half, 20 minutes in the second half, and Mayo had about 10 minutes of brilliance and they destroyed us. But we've a much more, as Declan was saying, there's a much more experienced team there now. So I definitely don't think anybody's going to be afraid of that Mayo team. And yeah, their history is it'll follow them, I think.
Yeah. How do you see this game as the neutral?
I see it being close. I think midfield is a huge. I think Casey, Colin O'Riordan, and Stephen O'Brien are massive, Declan, because I think obviously, look, Sweeney and Quinlivan are match winners. You've got a very dynamic half back line. If you can win, and you see the way the game has gone, especially this year, it seems to be an awful lot more long kickouts. So if the boys can clean up in the middle of the field, supply Robbie Kiley and your half backs with kind of go forward ball, let Brian Fox sweep a bit maybe, and try and hit the boys early and often like he did against Cork. You can be right in this. I have it by Mayo winning by 3 or 4 because I just think their bench is probably a bit more experienced. But, you know, it's going to be a tight one. And any given Sunday, as well as documented this year, anything can happen, yeah?
Yeah, like, I think if you go back to the Cork match, you know, Cork set up, they did youth, but they never really went at tip, you know, whereas Sunday is going to be totally different. Like, there's going to be lads bombing forward, you know, which is... Like, the way I'll put it again, if we can play on the front foot, we have a chance. Yeah. If we're like, if we can get some of the dominance around the middle sector, because at the end of the day, like, if they start Aidan O'Shea in full forward with Killian O'Connor, our backs are going to be under a lot of pressure. Mm. So what we don't want is be under pressure like that, and also having McLaughlin and Keegan and Durkin flying up through the gaps as well. So if we can put those guys on the back foot and say, right, They obviously have to keep an eye on Sweeney and Quinlivan. Like, there's no doubt about that. But you know yourself, playing Mayo, they don't care about those guys. They'll just bomb forward and they'll have a go. So if we see Mikey and Connor Sweeney out around the 45, middle of the field, tracking back, we're in big bother. So we need to play it on our terms. And I think it's easy to say it, but I think we should just go out with the same go about as against Cork. Deliver ball in and make Mayo backs worry. So it's going to be around the middle sector, and it's where most games are won or lost. And if we can get an ample supply of ball in, we are going to cause serious damage. But I would worry about the Mayo lads just bombing off and hairing off, and you know that's a serious pace. Like,
would you keep Quinlivan inside, particularly next day, because if he's outside, more than likely be picked up by Durkin, and as you rightly say, he'll spend his game tracking where, you know, it's as a corner forward, you can kind of stay in the end line, and your man is less likely to go. Do they just start him inside with Sweeney and just leave the two of them up and let everybody else do the trucking for them?
I tell you, like, you know yourself, in our time, if the cornerback went off, you lift him off, and he got hit by someone going out the way. Whereas now you have to go with him. And like, if we see Mikey and Connor back, like those two lads would make any team in the country, no doubt about it. So what do we need from them is to be where they're most dangerous. It might be selfish of the boys to say, geez, we have to sit around here and we have to be patient. I think they should do that rather than trying to track back, because it's going to be endless, Kieran. So I would put the two lads inside, and if we can get ball in, but the other side of it is, if we're not winning ball around the middle, they're going to be a waste inside. So it's going to be very, very interesting. And obviously then if we are winning around the middle third, Aidan O'Shea won't be too long staying inside full forward. So it'll be very interesting. But you know, to expect two guys on their own, Mikey and Connor, is probably been an insult to the other guys, but we need these two lads firing. We need the ball going in properly, like the Cork game. And I'll finish on this here. Like, if they're not going, like, they had 5 points in play score probably in the first 20 minutes against Cork without a hand being laid on them.
Yeah,
that's not going to happen Sunday. So it's going to be different. It's going to be a different test for them, but they're well able for that too if they get the right ball in. So it'll be. I just hope. And I don't think we are, but I just hope we're not happy with the Munster title. It's brilliant and all that, but to get to an All-Ireland final, people down here are saying it already, like, what's the point? We're going to get hammered. But like, Dublin would do that to 27 or 8 other teams in the country. So, you know, I much prefer to be getting there and, you know, worry about the result then rather than be crying on Saturday, on Sunday evening, wondering what if, you know?
Yeah. Pat, it's obviously been a very strange year of sport, but at least sport has happened in some kind of a way. What about your world this past year? I mean, I presume complete standstill, and everybody from technicians to staff working in venues to actors, directors, you name it, must be very, very worried people at the moment and hoping this vaccine sorts out the world very quickly. But like, a devastating year.
Yeah, it's been very, very, very strange, to say the least. I mean, we shut down in March. We had a tour which was on the go, sold out tour. That was all cancelled, and a lot of artists like myself the same. And it kind of got to feel as this thing will, you know, it was kind of a holiday period at the start, and then I began to realize it's dragging out. And then when it started to become apparent that this is going to happen, this is going to go on for a long, long time, it got a very worrying. Thankfully, the government has come around and put a few incentives out there. Not everybody got the grants, but some people did start streaming. So it's brought a bit of work back into it. Right. But it looks like it's going to be, you know, even just the other day talking about the vaccine in England being rolled out and stuff. Even with that, it looks like it'll be into next summer before even some of the summer festivals might get going some bit. But I can't see touring until the end of next year really coming back into it, you know. Right. So it's been tough for everybody. The only guys I know that are working are sound guys that are working on the sports matches and stuff like that. Brother in law of mine is a sound engineer for that. So good for them. It's great to see a bit of work, but it has just like it's really killed the live scene. And thankfully, I do a lot of film work and stuff, and there's a bit of that starting to creep back in again. I finished a project in Belfast there recently. And apart from that, there's nothing happening, honey. So it's, you know, it's very, very tough for everyone.
And how have you found it? Aside from when you can have a few drinks and watch Tipperary win Munster titles, are you sitting around bored? Or are you doing a bit of writing, or how are you finding things?
No, funny enough, I was one of the lucky ones. Our company got some grant from the government, which is fantastic. So we're in the process of writing and filming this week and next week a project we're going streaming over to Christmas.
Great.
And it's kind of got us going. We're in the studio working away because you have to keep going. You have to keep putting a show together with the view that it might open up in March, April, May. And if not, we'll be doing some streaming or something. And you just got to keep, it's a bit like a sportsman, you got to keep match fit. And it's funny, with music or comedy or anything like that, you do have to keep stage fit. If you don't, you kind of, it's very, very odd.
Right.
So yeah, trying to keep it going.
If he wants to test his acting skills, Pat, why don't you throw on that civil defence jacket there from the original Unbelievables and try and get into Croke Park on Sunday? Just barge up and pretend you own the place. Do you think if you can get into Croke Park on Sunday, there has to be an Academy Award heading for you?
I've done it before. I was a great man when I was a young philanthropist for selling programmes. You just go up to the club and say, selling programmes in the dictionary.
When you talk about being stage fit there, do you mean like your comedic timing or what are you talking about? Because there is a craft to it, obviously, in so many ways.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's all of that. Exactly. It's comic timing. It's... it's all of that. It's just being on a stage in front of an audience. And you get nervous as well. It's I don't know, I presume sports people get the same as well. Before, if you haven't gigged in a while, you start to lose your confidence a little bit. So and one or two shows will get that up and running again, you know what I mean? We're at it long enough that you wouldn't be stage fright in such a way that you'd never work again. But you do, just to get your timing, your reactions with an audience, all that kind of stuff. It's like playing a match or playing sports. After a couple of matches, you get up to speed on it. And it's very much the same for us.
Right, I can imagine. Listen, before we go, am I right in saying you and Brown represented Munster together up in Cross McGlen and all hell broke loose?
We did. I was looking after him. I'd say that there, was I?
I definitely wasn't fighting.
I got bursted on your behalf, I think. Was it your man in a way came over? Was it in the McNulty? In the McNulty came over and was giving you a bit of grief, and of course I, being the loudmouth that I was, started chirping back, and Boat got sent off, lying in the side of the pitch, doctor trying to stitch my eye back together. So yeah, that was a nice experience at Cross McGlen. It didn't go too well after first. I don't think there was too much Kerry representation to say that I was on the team at full forward in 2005 when Kerry didn't even know to play me full forward until 2006. So it tells me that we were kind of stuck if I got the call. But I think it was only me and Aidan were the only two Kerry lads up there. But it was an experience. Oh, can you remember it?
I do. I think as far as was there helicopters flying over as well?
There was.
Yeah, that's what I remember. Yeah. It was tough. That was a tough gig. Yeah.
Yeah. They brought us to the right place, I think.
Yeah. 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 I think the fear set in before we even got off the bus. But I'd like to say they were good. They were good times. Like that for me, that was, you know, that was like Munster medals and Ireland medals to represent Munster, and you know, to get to play with you guys and the Cork lads and all that. And I think we, you know, it's pretty that side of things has gone as well. You know, there are little perks for the weaker counties again, you know, but I know you can't fit everything into a calendar, but I think they're like they're special days as well, you know.
Yeah, I think you could play it on All Ireland final weekend on the Saturday if they, you know, obviously without the two teams that are in the final, and try and make a mashup of everybody else, because people are up there anyway, and people might like to get another game in, because it is something that is historic in our game, and it is sad to see it go. Because for me, playing with you that day was a huge honour, because you were a superstar in the country at that stage. I was trying to get on the Kerry team, so it does take away that opportunity for us to get to know each other and play with others in the province. And the Ulster boys were always very good at pulling it together, and they had a squad and a half that day. I'd like to go back and get that team sheet, to be honest with you.
Yeah. You know, well, like we said there, like it's to represent your province. I always thought we came well together, you know. It was and it was just a pity we never got the best of the best on the field at one time, because you'd be a match for, I know all the other provinces could say the same, but like I said, to me it's a pity that it's not still going, you know. It was really thrown aside, and same with the international rules, you know, it's very hard to fit everything into. But like I said earlier, if the GAA can learn something from this year,
exactly,
why not? Maybe there will be gaps for these things to come back, you know.
So, fellas, thanks a million for that. Pat, what are we saying then, prediction-wise? Tipperary by 6, 7, 8?
Oh, God. Look, if we can squeeze by with one or two, as Declan was saying, if we can hold the ball and get ahead in the first half, hold that during the interval, and then do it again in the second half. Keep it all game, really.
It'd be brilliant in the dressing room, Pat.
Listen, fellas, brilliant stuff. Pat Short, great to have you with us. Enjoy the game at the weekend. Declan Brown, brilliant to have you with us as well. Thanks so much,
thanks,
fellas.
Lads.
Thanks, guys.
There you are, Pat Short, Declan Brown, all as part of the latest in our series of GAA roadshows in association with Super Value, calling on GAA fans across the country to support where you're from. And you can check out youtube.com Super Value Ireland for more information. And also, by the way, check out otbsports.com. We have Bernard Brogan doing a podcast at the moment for us in association with Super Value. The latest guest is Shane Lowry. Thank you very much. So check that out as well.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.